Psalms 34, and now we'll go to Psalms 91, if you would please, for the message. Psalms 91, and then I'll also be reading a little passage out of John 15. So you might want to find those two passages in your Bibles. And I do encourage you to open your Bibles with me today. If you don't have one, there's probably one in a book pocket near you. The 91st Psalm, and then John chapter 15. We appreciate the word of the Lord, how it ministers to our heart. I want to talk this morning in the time that's allotted to me about remaining in God's presence and how that is a key to growing in Christ. I think every follower of Christ wants to grow. And we never stop growing in the Lord. We never do. Physically, there's limitations to our growth. I was 5'8" for most of my life, and I'm supposed to shrink, but I took a physical a few years ago, and the nurse said, "You're 5'9". I said, "That can't be. I'm sorry, I've been 5'8" most of my life." She says, "Well, you're 5'9 tonight, or today." And yes, ma'am. But generally, we stop growing physically, but spiritually, how many know you just keep growing in the Lord, right? There's never a stop to that. Psalms 91. I'm going to begin at verse 1 and read the entire psalm, 16 verses. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." We sang about that earlier in worship. "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." That's a reference back to verse 1. Verse 10, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And many of you will recognize those scriptures as the scriptures the devil misquoted to Jesus in the wilderness experience when he said, "Go ahead and jump off the temple." And then he misquotes this verse. "You shall tread upon the lion," verse 13, "and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." And then in most of your versions, we need to take note of this. Verse 14, 15, and 16 usually has quotations around it because it is no longer David who is speaking. David is speaking up to now about God, but now in many of your Bibles, you'll have quotation marks around these next three verses. Why? Because David is quoting God. God actually himself speaks and says these words based on what we have just read. Verse 14, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him." That's not David, but that's God speaking. "I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." How many knows it's good when we hear directly from God, right? A good word from the Lord. And though all this passage is very important, very special, those last three verses is God reiterating what David said and said, "Yes, I am going to be there. Those who know my name, I'm going to help them. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to bless them." The comfort that we see in Psalms 91 is really amazing. And maybe you've read this passage before. Maybe you've heard it at a memorial service. I remember years ago a gentleman that went to be with the Lord, and this was one of his favorite passages. He was a World War II veteran, had served in the European conflict, and had lived through some very difficult times in our nation. And this was one of the passages that he leaned on very, very strongly. And so I made remarks out of that, out of his service. And he especially liked the part where it says in verse 1, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It was very special to him. And maybe that's one of your favorites as well. Maybe you've studied and looked at it, whatever. But it is an incredible psalm that really speaks words of comfort to us and strength. Because everyone in this building right now has or will go through some kind of difficult times in your life. And if you're here today and you say, "No, I've never gone through anything hard. Life has been a breeze. Everything's going hunky-dory. Things couldn't be better." I'd watch out if I were you, because inevitably every life goes through some difficult times. And it's good to know that we have a God that we can go to and He can help us through those difficult times, right? And a difficult time is not indicative of your being a bad follower of Christ or not committed enough or anything like that. It is just the way life is. Life happens to everybody. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, Jesus said it, He said that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Life happens, but it is good to know as followers of Christ that we have a place we can go to and hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? And have strength from Him. And so with words such as these, David gives us great comfort. He uses words such as secret place in verse 1. What a wonderful thing to think of, a secret place. And then he talks about being under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he talks about my refuge and my fortress. Again, we sang about that, I think, during the offering song. And they bring us hope. Words like this bring us hope when we're faced with life's difficulties. And whether they're small little things we're dealing with or large, gigantic things, things like this, a passage like this can really help us. And again, as I mentioned, verses 14, 15, and 16 is directly God saying, "Yes, David is right, but I want to tell you that I will be with you. I will answer you." He says, "I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I will answer him. I will be with him. I will satisfy him." We have in those three verses, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." How many know we serve an I will God, right? I will do this for you. He is the I will God. Jesus called himself the I am God. God called himself the I am. But here he says, "I will do this and I will do that and I will do this." This is a psalm of promises that God has made to us, and He is true to His promises. Now, keep your finger on Psalms 91 and turn, please, to John chapter 15. This will be a familiar passage to you as well, the first eight verses of John chapter 15. And I want to read kind of a companion section to what we just read in Psalms 91. And of course, John chapter 15, while you're looking it up, this is just a small portion of some teaching that Jesus gave His followers. And He's trying to show them the importance of staying connected to the Lord Jesus, or staying in His presence, if you will. And He uses the analogy of a vineyard of grapes and branches and vines. So it'll be familiar. Starting at verse 1 of John chapter 15, Jesus said these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." Now, literally, that phrase "takes away" means to be lifted up. And so I want you to understand, when it says He takes it away, He's really saying, "I take it away from the ground and I lift it up." Literally, it means to be lifted up. And He washes it off, He cleans it off, and He puts it back on the trellis so it's not growing in the dirt. How many know God wants to pick us up when we get dirty and clean us off, right? Amen? And so He's lifting it up. He's not destroying it. "And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit." He's very concerned about us. He is the vine, we are the branches, all right? And then he goes on in verse 3 and says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Probably a reference to that remark that he lifts us up off the ground. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So Jesus said, it is very, very important that you stay connected to me in my presence, that you're connected. I'm the vine. I'll give you all the nourishment that you need to make fruit, but you've got to stay connected to me. You've got to stay in my presence, if you will. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So anyone that is cut off from the Lord, then we begin to wither, and we don't want that. So we want to get grafted back in, or somehow we want to be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be productive for him. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And so the words of Jesus in this passage simply reiterate the fact of great comfort to us if we stay connected to the Lord. Abide in me, he says, and I will abide in you. You'll be productive, you'll grow, you'll produce much fruit. And he's right there helping us do as he's instructed us. We are not alone in this venture. We're not alone if we stay connected to the Lord. And we'll talk about some ways to do that in just a little bit. So what we have then in Psalms 91, and now we'll go back to Psalms 91, we have the I will God, who says, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will comfort, I'll strengthen, I'll protect, I'll be your fortress, etc. I will, I will, I will. And in John 15, we have the abiding God, or the abiding Jesus, that says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you, and you'll gain nourishment from me, etc. So we can see in these two passages how important it is to remain in God's presence, and that is a key to growing. That's the key to really growing in Christ and knowing him more and better, etc. So we're back in Psalms 91 now, and I want you to notice a few things. I want you to notice that David names some things that are obstacles to our comfort, that are obstacles to our walking with the Lord. They're there to try to separate us from the Lord. Notice in verse 3. He says, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, what is the fowler? Well, a fowler literally is one who catches birds in a trap or snare. And the fowler was pretty simple, pretty basic. He would lay out a snare that was connected to a wire, or not a wire, but a rope or some kind of twine, and he would bait it. And when the bird came along, the bird would step into that snare, then that trap would snap. Or the fowler would pull on it, and he would catch that bird, and that bird would be captive because he fell for the bait. How many know we have an enemy that baits us and tries to get us to fall? How many know that today, right? We're not without an enemy, and he baits us. And I have to tell you, I could be first in line with saying I've been caught in the fowler's snare more than once because I took the bait. Well, the key is to know if the bait's there and to avoid it, right? To avoid it. But sometimes we don't do that. And so the promise here is that God would deliver us from the snare. It's almost like we've got caught in the snare and the fowler's going to take us. He's going to do us in, whatever he's going to do with the bird. But God comes and he loosens the snare so the bird can be free again. And how many know he sets the captive free? Praise God. He sets the captive free. And so that's an obstacle to our comfort, the fowler. And then he talks about the perilous pestilence and whatever he is referring to. It had to do probably something with a disease or something that raged through the land because of disobedience or whatever. And then he goes on and he mentions, look at verse 5. He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. He mentioned night terrors. Now, is he referring to nightmares? Is he referring to bad dreams? Is he referring to, those things that go bump in the night? We don't know. But what David was saying, he describes it well when he says, He will help us with these night terrors. I was talking with Rita last night at the hospital. Cheryl and I were quite late. And so we asked if she was going to be okay at home alone. And so her sister-in-law offered to stay with her. But she said, Pastor, it's amazing when my husband is here, I don't hear any of those creaks and cracks and all of that. But when I'm alone, I hear everything that creaks. And I said, well, Rita, I'm the same way. When Cheryl's at home, I don't hear any of that. The only creaks I hear is my bones creaking when I'm tired, right? But when Cheryl's not there and I'm home alone, I hear every creak and crack and the walls shift and things beat on the house. But being the manly man that I am, it doesn't bother me. I grab my baseball bat and I'm fine. But how many know that sometimes at night when you're by yourself, you can really hear those noises, right? Well, that's spiritually what the enemy does as well. He comes in the night, and he likes the night because we're maybe not expecting him. But whatever this was, it was a night terror to him, and this can be an obstacle to our comfort. Maybe he's referring to nightmares. Now, I've learned through the years that I've learned the difference between a dream from the Lord and a dream from the enemy. I've learned that. And I've also learned the difference between a pork dream and a dream from the enemy. And by that I mean, now that I'm older, I can't eat pork late in the day. Because if I do, I have these weird, weird dreams. Maybe some of you are that way. Well, anyway, so I know the difference from those. But something interesting happened a couple days ago. I'm not on a lot of medication, but I do take a few little pills as you get over. That's just probably standard for the course. And so I have a little allergy thing, and the thing I've been taking hasn't been working. So I emailed my doctor, and I said, Doctor, can I take this pill that Cheryl wants me to try? Will it affect any other medications? And he emailed back and says, no, you're safe. Go ahead. So Cheryl brought me one, and so I took it. I got to tell you, I have never taken illegal drugs in my life. I was never on the LSD scene. I was never in the, that scene. But I got to tell you, I had the most psychedelic dream. I dreamed I was running down an alley and there were barking rabbits. Rabbits were chasing me and they were barking at me and I kept running and I dreamed a bull was there and the bull got out and he started snorting at me. So I started hopping way high like a kangaroo to get away from him. Boy, talk about a hallucinogenic dream. Whoa, I said, what did you give me? She felt really bad, but it did help the allergy, so that's good. Well, last night I took it again, and I didn't have any of those, so that's good. Maybe I adjust it, but if that's what it's like to be high, I'll stay low. Maybe, David, you could tell me about it later. There you go. Anyway, night terrors. But seriously, there are times when the devil likes to come in and just frighten you out of your wits. But you've got to understand that when he said in verse 15, I will answer him because he will call upon me. He'll know my name. Verse 14, we can call on the name of Jesus. Amen? And we can come against those. He talks about day arrows. This is no doubt a reference to some enemy that comes and tries to destroy him. But I was reminded when I read that of the passage in Ephesians where we are to take the shield of faith so that we can put out the fiery darts of the devil, right? Those fiery darts are thoughts that he puts in our minds. God doesn't love you and you're a bad person and you're going to fail and you'll never get out of this one. How many know those are fiery darts? And that's where we put up the shield of faith and say, devil, you're a liar. Amen? Devil, you're a liar. Those things will not happen. And he goes on and uses words like destruction or the lion and the cobra. Well, all of these, and I won't belabor this, but all of these are and more are dealt with by our God. And that's what David says in Psalms 91. These things may happen, but God will help us deal with them. And then the last one I just want to mention, verse 7 and 8. When you read that, what this is, it shapes up to be an overwhelming battle. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. These are not David's allies. These are David's enemies. It appears by this passage that this is a battle where there were overwhelming odds against David. But then it says, it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, this is an overwhelming battle, odds against David, but a miracle happened. And how many know God gives us miracle victories, right? When the odds seem overwhelming, when it looks like everything is against us, the deck is stacked against us, and our adversaries are so many more than what we feel we can handle, that's when God sets us up for a miracle. Praise God, for a miracle. I heard someone say one time, we love to pray for miracles, but we don't want the things that will help for the reason a miracle would happen, right? So in order to have a miracle, we have to face some of these things. And so that's what David says that are some obstacles to our comfort and our strength and our growing in the Lord. But David also names some things to remind us of the comfort that God gives us. Back to verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And I love that phrase, the secret place. Every believer in Christ ought to have a secret place. It ought to be a place where you can be alone with the Lord. And it may not even be a literal place. It can maybe just be a frame of mind, but we need a place. And it's good if it can be a place where you can just be with the Lord, talk to Him, and allow the Lord to speak with you. And a place that's private or whatever. maybe growing up you had a secret place. Maybe you had a tree house you went to, or a tree that you climbed, or maybe a little place in the yard, or whatever. I don't know. For me, and maybe this explains why I so enjoy kids' days when I take empty boxes and I do illustrations with a lot of empty boxes. One of my secret places as a little boy was to take a cardboard box and crawl underneath it, and there nobody could bother me. And I was all by myself. I could just be with the Lord, just an empty box. But you know, God honors an empty box. Amen? Your secret place. So where is your secret place today? Where is it? Probably a lot more mature than it was when you were a child. But we all need one. And so the secret place brings us comfort on the Most High. And then it talks about abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That brings us comfort. You know, a shadow should not make us fearful if we know the source of the shadow. If it's the valley of the shadow of death, then we fear no evil, for He is with us. Amen? But here, the shadow is being cast by the Lord God Almighty. And we sang about that too this morning. And I didn't tell Sharina what I was going to preach about. But we sang about the Lord God Almighty and under His shadow. And if you're in the shadow of the Lord God Almighty, you don't have to be afraid of that shadow. Praise God. As a matter of fact, we want Him to overshadow us as we stay close to Him. Excuse me. And then look at verse 4. Other words that he uses. And again, these are analogies. These aren't literal necessarily, but he says these are pictures that help us understand God's protection. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Now, I don't believe God has wings, and I don't believe he has feathers. You know, maybe angels, we see that, but I don't believe God does. But it's a picture of comfort, and the picture here is like a young or a mother chicken and her little chicks, and how they run underneath her for protection. That's the idea. We had a pastor's wife in Southern California years ago, and I heard her tell this story. She was on one of the streets in Southern California, and suddenly a robber came. And some of you heard this story, some of you are new, haven't. But he stuck a gun in the window, and he wanted her money. And she just went, oh, 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 oh. And all she could think of was the scripture about feathers. And she couldn't quote it. She was nervous. Here's this gun. So she just went, oh, Jesus, help me. Feathers, 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 feathers. And the guy walked away, and she could hear him say to someone, I'm not going to rob her. That lady's crazy. Well, thank God for feathers. Amen. And that's all she could think of. But that's what she said. But that's the power of the Word of God. Just one word will do it. Amen. So anyway, again, these are words of comfort and strength. We can be comforted underneath His wings and His feathers, this picture of God caring for us. It talks about His truth and His dwelling place, His name, His salvation. All of these are words to show his active status in our lives. These are words that we can take courage in. And that's why the 91st Psalm is so special to people, because as you read it, we identify with it, some of the things David goes through, and then some of the ways that God will comfort us. Well, the conclusion of this is that these two passages then are full of images. Abiding in Christ, he is the vine, we are the branches, and we get our nourishment from him, and we produce fruit, and we grow in the Lord. And then in Psalms 91, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're in his presence. There is protection there. And then we can grow in the Lord as well. Jesus said these words. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then from Hebrews, he is quoted as saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many believe that today? Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can trust in him. We can rely on his promises, and we can see our lives grow abundantly in Christ. Now, very quickly, I'm just going to give you seven things that have helped me in my Christian walk with the Lord. And there's no magical formula to them, and I'm not giving them in any particular order of importance. But these are seven things that I have found in my life and my many, many, many years of following the Lord that has helped me have great comfort in the Lord, and also grow in the Lord. And I call them the things that I do to stay in the presence of the Lord. How do I stay in the presence of the Lord? How do I abide in Christ? All right, so here we go, very quickly, because our time is just about up. Number one, to stay in the presence of the Lord, I need to stay in his word. I need to read the Bible. There's something about this book that helps us grow in Christ. Amen? This is like food. This is like a good meal. Now, you may not always understand what you read, but read it anyway, because when you read it, it's like you're hiding it in your heart, right? That's what David said in Psalms 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. That's right. So we read the word, little bit of it at a time, lot of it, whatever. I think that's why it's great that Sharina put together this devotional thing for us. Many of you do this already, but to get us together, reading the Bible, reading the word. And I know some of you may say, well, I don't understand what I'm reading. And I understand that. But sometimes read it anyway, and I believe the Holy Spirit will bring that understanding to your mind. So, number one, stay in his word, because when we're in his word, we're in his presence. Number two, stay in prayer. Prayer is something that we ought to be doing not just in church. It's important that we pray in church, but praying before the Lord. And maybe you don't know what to say, maybe you don't know how to pray. But folks, I've always said prayer is as simple as talking to God, just talking to God. If you can talk to your neighbor, you can talk to God. If you can talk to your family, you can talk to God. If you can talk to the dog, you can talk to God. Amen? Just tell God how you feel. Express your heart to him. And that's really what prayer is. There's no magic formulas. But when we're in prayer, we're in his presence. And so whether it's a specific time of day that you pray, or just throughout the day, you're constantly in thoughts of prayer toward the Lord, praying without ceasing. Those are important times, because we keep them, or that keeps us in the presence of the Lord. All right? The third thing is stay in church. Church is important, folks. And I'm not saying that just because I'm the pastor and I want you to be here, but I'm telling you, throughout my Christian life that started when I was a little boy, going to church was important, because when I was in church, I felt like I was in the presence of the Lord. And that's what church does. So we need to go to church and be among other believers, and this will help us be in his presence. Now, you know, God just isn't here. You know, when you all leave today, God doesn't go, oh, well, I won't see him again for a week. How many know God goes with you, right? We know that. But coming together, that's why we're not to forsake this. And so coming to church is important. It's helpful to me. I remember I said to Sally one time, when Cheryl and I and Sally were in our home church in Coos Bay, I said, boy, Sally, if I could, I'd be in church every day. Well, God took me up on that and made me a pastor. And so virtually every day I am. But being in church will help us grow. And someone said it so beautifully the other day. They said, when I don't go to church and I just read what I want, hear what I want, it's all from my perspective. But when I'm in church, I hear things that come from other perspectives that I may need to hear that I wouldn't do myself, right? And so a church is a very important part. Number four, stay in fellowship with other believers. Connect with some Christian friends and talk about the Lord and talk about the Bible. This fellowship with other believers, not just at church, but other times as well, will help us be in the presence of the Lord. What did Jesus say? Where two or three are gathered, what? In my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And so whether it's a Bible study or just coffee together, stay in fellowship with other believers, and the presence of the Lord is there, and it will help you grow. Number five, stay in worship. Worship is important, and it's not just worship we do in church. This is important, but I think followers of Christ ought to have some means by which they listen to worship music throughout the week. Now, I'm not against other types of music. You know, it's probably good every now and then to listen to the guy who lost his dog, lost his Ford, lost whatever, you know, the country western stuff. I'm sure that's fine, but how many know we need to listen to good Christian music too, right? Whether it's on the radio or our iPad or iPod or iPi, whatever those eyes are. But we need to listen to good Christian music. And that's staying in worship, because we can worship the Lord every day. And when we worship, we're in His presence. Number six, stay in devotions. Just like we're going to do together corporately, we need to have a time that we can read a passage, we can think about it, ask the Lord what it means for us. We can spend some time in prayer. We can maybe journal and write some things down. I'm not a good journaler. I will confess to you. Now, it's a good thing to do, and some men are really good at it. I am not one of those men. My wife loves to do it. She loves to journal. Matter of fact, the last time I journaled, I got to tell you. Can I tell you? Can I be honest with you today? We were flying home from a trip, and I thought, I better journal. So I wrote in that, and I put things I don't like. That's a very positive start. You can tell I was probably not the most positive person during that trip. Things I don't like. And the first one I wrote down is pushy car salesman. That so discouraged me, I closed it up. That's the last thing I've ever logged. Anyway, Pastor, you've got a real problem. Anyway. Try to journal. It will help. And I promise I'll try too, okay? But at least spend some time in devotions before the Lord. And then number seven, stay in thoughts of Him. And this is probably one of the most important ones for me. Since I've been a little boy, I've followed the Lord. And I've tried to stay in thoughts about the Lord, thinking about the Lord every day. Things that happen, immediately praying and asking the Lord, talking to Him in prayer. Staying in thoughts of Him. How would Jesus react to this? How would Jesus want me to handle this? Talking to the Lord about things that to some people may seem insignificant. You know, if you're in school, thinking about the Lord when it comes to tests. You know, Lord, help me with this test. Lord, help me take this test. Help me get the right answer. Amen. Okay. But keeping your thoughts about the Lord when you get older and you're facing some, you know, empty nest or whatever. Lord, how should I handle this? Keeping your thoughts on the Lord will help us grow, because the Lord can speak to us through His responses, right? So anyway, those are seven things that have helped me. Hope they're helpful to you today. Let's stand together and close out our service so you can get about your Sunday activities. And we appreciate you being here this morning, and a wonderful time of worship and prayer. Thank you so much. And we just believe the Lord wants us to use Psalms 91 and John 15 to really bring comfort and growth to our Christian lives. Lord, we thank You today, and we come and we humbly say, Lord, we appreciate all You've done for us. What a wonderful comfort it brings us to know that we can be in the secret place of the Most High. We can be under the shadow of the Almighty. That we don't have to be afraid of the terror by night, or the pestilence that walks in noonday, or the night terrors of the day arrows. We don't have to be afraid when we're overwhelmed, though sometimes we are. We can have the confidence when the numbers are against us, it just provides God an opportunity to do a greater miracle. Help us, Lord, to kind of adopt these seven things that have helped me. Maybe they'll help somebody else. Maybe other people have other things that have helped them, but we want to grow in the Lord. We never want to stop growing in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the inspired words from these passages of Scripture. Now, Lord, be with everyone today as they go about their Sunday activities, whatever those might be. Give them a delightful day. And Father, once again, for all the things we prayed about today, we ask you to continue to be with those individuals and their families and their friends. And we just thank you for your presence. We know that you are with us always. There's never a moment that you're not with us. So, Lord, we just recommit our lives to you fresh and anew. Jesus, I just want to walk with you every day. I want to, as Randy's saying, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Every day, I want to taste more of Jesus to see how good he is. So we give you thanks and praise in your wonderful name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap today? God bless you. Amen.